I'd like to call our meeting to order and welcome each of you to our regular town council meeting this evening. We appreciate your interest in our community, and we're glad to have you here this evening. Roll call.
Mayor Winfield?
Here.
Vice Mayor Barrett?
Here.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy?
Here.
Councilmember Nicholson?
Here.
Councilmember Pena?
Here.
Councilmember Rodman?
Here.
Councilmember Solomon?
Here.
So as a reminder to each of us, we have two council members that are participating by phone. It's important. It's always important that we speak into the mics. So if you are going to be speaking tonight, that's just a general reminder to speak into the mic so that they can hear the proceedings and, of course, others that are listening in. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Upcoming meeting announcements, Mr. Standish.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The December 9th Water Utility Commission meeting has been canceled. And then the next December, our Board of Commission, Board of Adjustment meeting on December 17th has also been canceled. The Budget and Finance Commission will be holding their next meeting on December 17th at 4 p.m. in the Hopi Conference Room. And then the next Stormwater Utility Commission regular meeting has been canceled for December 19th. The Planning and Zoning Commission will be holding a special session on December 19th at 6 p.m. in the Hopi Conference Room. And then the Planning and Zoning Commission will be holding another special session on January 6th at 6 p.m. in the Hopi Conference Room. And then last but not least, the Town Council will have their next regular slash study session on January 8th at 6 p.m. here in the Council Chambers, pending approval tonight. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Council reports. Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have two items. The first is yesterday, December 3rd, was International Day of People with Disabilities. Last month, the mayor did issue a proclamation recognizing this month. I also wanted to share with you some of the activities that's going on in our Amphi School District, as this is also kicking off a week-long Inclusive School Week. And our Amphi School District is very, very involved with people with disabilities. Any child that has a disability attending one of our Amphi schools can be expected to receive caring service, trust, respect, and an exceptional education. This is done by our Amphi outstanding professionals. Can you not hear me? Shall I eat it? If you can't hear me, just wave at me. We have some dedicated professionals in our Amphi school system who dedicates their careers working with our community and our people with disabilities to ensure that they grow and learn to be remarkable adults. The full circle is completed with Amphi School District in partnership with the Beacon Group, with adults who are trained and developed for future employment. I think we should be very proud to have Amphi as active as they are. And if we can just take the week and recognize people with disabilities, no matter what they are, whether they're physical, emotional, and realize that they can be productive members of our community. The other item is I'd like to recognize our spotlight on youth, and I'm going to come down for that.
It's my honor to introduce to you Ella Mon. She's a fifth grader at Copper Creek Elementary School. In 2015, Ella was diagnosed with cancer and has overcome many challenges during her battle. As a top student at Copper Creek, Ella has gone beyond and above the average student. She's an honor roll student in the REACH program, which provides advanced learning opportunities and allows her to study in a higher math level. In addition to her drive to excel academically, Ella also enjoys playing the piano. For a young student, Ella has had many achievements and is still able to find time to start a soap business. Ella Bath offers soap products where part of her proceeds are donated to fighting cancer. You will find Ella at the local farmers market, telling the community about her soaps and making a world of difference. School administrators have commented on her respectful and responsible character. She comes to school every day with a smile on her face and ready to start her day. It is clear that Ella is a courageous young entrepreneur. We are so proud to recognize you as our spotlight on youth, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you, Mon family. We're so pleased to have you with us this evening. Ella, you're a wonderful young lady. And I want to get down there to the farmer's market to buy some of that soap. Are there any other council reports? Hearing none, we'll go to the town manager's report. Ms. Jacobs.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. We mentioned at the last meeting that the roundabout would be open soon, and it was. And so today I just wanted to recognize our amazing staff and our contractor, Borderland, who did a phenomenal job in getting that project done on time. Well, two rain days, but we let those pass. And on budget. And by all accounts, the roundabout is working exactly as it was intended. We have had just a couple of additional questions come in from our residents, and I learned this morning that our wonderful video that was put together by the communications division has been viewed about 4,000 times, I believe. Excuse me, 8,000 times. 8,000 times. So we know that people were paying attention, and they wanted to make sure that they understood how it was going to work. We're going to do a follow-up video and address some of those additional things that have come up, making sure that people get a full view on how to how bicycles go through and a couple of other things that came up. But just a really terrific job. We appreciate the community's indulgence while we did that. And a special thanks to Paul Kiesler and his team, to the police department and their team, and to our wonderful communications division for the outreach that they did.
I was one of those 8,000 views while I was trapped in a traffic circle for half an hour. I was watching it on my phone trying to figure out how to get out.
We don't seem to have anyone getting stuck in there, so I think we're doing okay. This is our last meeting before the end of the calendar year, so on behalf of the town staff, we'd like to wish our entire community, Mr. Mayor, members of council, we'd like to wish you happy holidays, and we want to thank you for a really great, productive 2019. We look forward to another productive year in 2020. And with that, I'd like to ask our town clerk to introduce our new artist for tonight.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobs. Mr. Mayor, members of council, tonight we are featuring new artwork on display in the council chambers and on the town's website by artist Karen Brungart. Ms. Brungart attended the University of Missouri in Kansas, where she worked towards her master's degree in art. While in college, Karen's art interests were in oil painting, etchings, and pencil drawings. Later on in life, Karen started taking watercolor classes, and she quickly fell in love with the medium. Karen is currently president of the Saddlebrook Fine Arts Guild and is involved with and shows her work through the Southern Arizona Watercolor Guild. I believe Karen was going to be in attendance. I guess she wasn't able to make it tonight. That's my report. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Standish. I'd like to reciprocate to our staff, those in the audience, and my fellow council members, the happy holidays to each of you. Just before this meeting, I was at the gingerbread reveal at the El Conquistador Hilton Resort, and there were a number of children and families as they unveiled the gingerbread house. This is their fourth year. It's just one of the events that we'll have in the community, and it's these kinds of activities that bring us together as a community, celebrate the special season that we enjoy from a variety of different perspectives. And so we wish all of you a happy and safe holiday. Thank you. The order of business, as outlined in the agenda, will remain as posted. We have some blue cards for call to the audience. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, Mayor and Council are not allowed to discuss, respond to, or take legal action on matters raised during call to audience. At the conclusion of call to audience, council members may direct town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. I'd like to give some direction to, there are four individuals that have provided blue cards to an item that's on our consent agenda, consent item C. To my knowledge, that will not be removed from the consent agenda. And but I would like to give you the opportunity to speak this evening in consultation with our attorney. What I ask you to do, those of you that would like to speak, is the direction that he's given me, is that if you'll speak at a high level, if you won't make reference to the ratifying the Planning Division work plan for FY 1920, if you'll speak to the merits of the project that you've come to speak to tonight, the attorney will let you know if you get out of that high level of your presentation. But I want to give you the opportunity to speak.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. I was actually going to pull item C when we got to that, so...
Okay.
We'll be pulling it to ask a question.
Okay. So with that, thank you.
Still continuing to call the audience.
Okay, yeah. So Greg Kishi.
This might be the right height. My name is Mayor and Council. My name is Greg Kishi. My wife and I have been residents of Oro Valley for 28 years. I am speaking on behalf of both of us. As residents, we were interested in the, quote, summary results of online survey and focus group regarding the police chief recruitment process, unquote, item number 3 on the agenda for the last town council meeting. We are disappointed to not see that topic on tonight's agenda and believe it is important information that should be shared with all town residents. We are hoping that the council will not choose to intentionally hide these results from the residents, nor to use legal shenanigans to wall it off behind an executive session. Thank you.
So, Mr. Tobin, so for these, do I have these four individuals come up or wait until
they? You have them come up.
Okay. So Whitney Pierce. And just a reminder, if you'll speak as close to that mic as you can, Whitney. Thank you.
My name is Whitney Pierce. I'm a freshman at CDO, and I've been racing with OVMTB since sixth grade. Honeybee Canyon was the first trail that I ever rode on. Mountain biking and the team have meant so much to me. They keep me, you know, fit and in shape and healthy. Plus, I've made such amazing friends through the sport. Mountain biking is my happy place. Whenever I'm sad or down or just having a hard time, once I get out on my bike and start riding, all my problems feel so much smaller. I definitely feel like I would have gotten in a lot more trouble without it. I also feel like it made the transition from middle school to high school so much easier, because even when my whole world was being moved around and shaken, I still had something solid and mostly the same there. Plus, I had a lot of friends already in high school to help me tell me what to expect. I think we should keep the Honeybee Trail system so that all the other kids can have the same opportunities as me. Without the Honeybee Trails, it would make finding places to practice so much harder. I remember when we lost access to the trails through the WAPA entrance until the United Methodist Church let us start practices from their parking lot, and eventually the Big Wash Trailhead was built. It was very hard to find places to practice. The Honeybee Trail system has been such a blessing to so many kids and adults alike, and I feel like it wouldn't really be fair to them to take it away. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeff. John, I believe it's Gosman. You can raise the podium, John, or you can...
On the right-hand side of the top.
No, there's on the top of the podium, there's a button.
There you go. Can I do it?
Well, that mic needs to be, see my mouth and this mic, that's where your mouth needs to be to that mic.
Okay, how's that?
You can pick it up.
Mr. Mayor, Town Council, my name is John Gosman. My wife and I have a home in Sun City, Oro Valley. In fact, we purchased our home because of its location with access to the Honeybee Trail system. Trail use is unique in that it depends almost entirely on access to public lands and is by its nature of minimal impact on natural resources. Even though the cost is minimal to local administrative entities, it has a great economic benefit to surrounding communities. It is reasonable to assume that development pressure will increase, and at some time, Oro Valley will make decisions that will affect the Honeybee Trail system. My hope is that the city of Oro Valley will work with stakeholders in recognition of the benefits of the Honeybee Trail system and keep the importance of these trails a priority when questions of development are considered. Thank you.
Tyler Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. My name is Tyler Shepard. I've appreciate the opportunity to speak also about the Honeybee Trail system here. I've lived in and out of the Tucson area and in and out of Oro Valley most of my life. As a mountain biker myself and as the parent of a 14-year-old competitive mountain biker, also on the Oro Valley MTB team, go Otters, I'm staunchly against any sort of development or reduction for any reason in the Honeybee Trail system. All of us in this room are aware of the epidemic of childhood obesity and diabetes. We're all aware of how much time our kids today spend indoors and in front of screens rather than in any sort of physical activity. We've all read the articles and the mountains of data showing how harmful this trend is. Our generation is aware of all of this, and we're among the first to criticize our kids' generation for these problems. Yet here we are, we, the trustees of our kids' present and our kids' future, considering taking away perhaps yet another outdoor natural resource and an opportunity for our kids to participate in healthy, physical, back-to-nature activity, all in the name of development. And the Oro Valley Mountain Bike Team uses the Honeybee Trail system about 3 days a week in season. These kids ride 10, 25, some of them 30, 35 miles each one of these practices. They're out there doing the things that kids need to be doing in this day and age. And they represent our community all over the state of Arizona. They represent them in Flagstaff, Prescott, Sierra Vista, Fountain Hills, and west of Phoenix. And you notice there's none of these races are in Tucson. They're all in other places because we don't have the resources here in Tucson big enough to deal with and accommodate 1,500 kids on mountain bikes. But those other places do. They've given a high priority to the wellness of their community and to their dwindling natural outdoor resources. Earlier in this meeting, you recognized a very deserving young lady with your words in the spotlight on youth. And I'd love to see you spotlight some other youths with your fiscal and policy decisions regarding the Honeybee Trails. It's a beautiful, diverse, priceless, irreplaceable resource right here in our very own community. I've been out there on sunset rides and see deer and javelina and coyotes and you name it. I think I saw Bigfoot once. Developing it would take away a very valuable resource away from our community, and I guess put that in the pocket of developers and development and pocket of a few homeowners. It would take a lot away from a lot of people.
Sir, when we start talking about development, we're getting too close.
Okay. So it would take a very serious resource, a very valuable resource, away from our community and put it in other hands. Once it's gone, it's not going to come back. It's gone for good. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeff Gicklehorn.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Town Council. My name is Jeff Gicklehorn. I am a board member with the Sonoran Desert Mountain Bicyclists. I wanted to speak on behalf of sort of the larger mountain biking community. Back in May, one of our board members and our executive director presented some use data to the council about how the Honeybee Canyon Trail system had greater than 18,000 mountain bike use events per year. Those users are coming from 49 states, 24 countries around the world. This trail system is very important, and we also wanted to remind the council that mountain biking, as well as general trails-based recreation, is a growing recreational use and growing in popularity, becoming an ever larger economic driver. And many other communities have embraced locals' trails-based recreation and become known recreational destinations because of that. So we know that the Honeybee Trails exist on state lands. They're not within the bounds of Oro Valley. But many members, as you can see, many members of the local mountain bike community are here advocating for their conservation. Additionally, there are members of the conservation and archaeological communities that are interested in the conservation of these lands as well. And many of the trails occur on important ecological wildlife movement corridors and are near important archaeological sites. So the Sonoran Desert Mountain Bicyclists hope that members of the town council as well as Oro Valley town staff consider these trails in future planning efforts. And engage local stakeholders preemptively during the planning process so that those local stakeholders can have a say and everybody can sort of conserve the resources that they are interested in the most. Thank you.
Thank you. We have two presentations, and Mr. Standish, presentation one.
Presentation in recognition of the Oro Valley Rotary Club for their donation to enhance the community center's Kids Corner.
Thank you. Mayor, Council, first of all, it's kind of great when people are up here talking about the farmers market and mountain biking, and I'm here to talk about another amazing effort that happened to take place at our community center. A few years ago, a gentleman from the Oro Valley Rotary Club came up and said, we want to do a service project, and we'd like to have a great impact. And the play area and the kids' corner space of the community center was not to code and not compliant and needed to go. And this was the perfect opportunity to have the old play equipment go out, the new play equipment come in, and have a great community service project. So the Oro Valley Rotary contributed $5,200 in cash, countless hours of labor, and a whole lot of smiles. And if you look up here, this is what it looked like before. Next slide, please. This is members of the Rotary Club doing their work. They created a raceway so kids on tricycles and Hot Wheels can zoom around, and there's the start and finish line, and as you can see, the flames because they're going super fast. And then they get to play on the big bumblebee and the big caterpillar. So with that, I would like to turn it over to Steve Witthoff with the Oro Valley Rotary.
Hello, Mayor and Council Member. I just want to say that when we looked at that first picture, when I first went out with Christy to look at the playground, that sidewalk was in disrepair, and the kids had these big wheels. And I said, well, where do they ride them? She said, right here. And I go, what does right here mean? And it was about 3-foot by 6-foot cement slab. So they got on their big wheel, they pedaled twice, stopped, turned around, did it again. And I said, no, we have to fix that. But on behalf of the Oro Valley Rotary Club, I want to say working with the town has been great on this project. One of the things, Rotary is a big believer in education. So what we did around the racetrack is we put fractions, a quarter, a half, 3/4 of the way, so the kids could see that. And then on the mural on the back, it's kind of like a NASCAR crowd. And some of our volunteers had the idea when they got this mural printed and put up that the staff can go with the little kids and count things like all the red hats or all the men with mustaches and things like that. So we tried to bring an educational theme to it too. So Rotary's, you know, all about one of our big emphasis is education. And one of the other projects we do every year is we donate dictionaries to every third grader in Oro Valley at all 6 schools and a thesaurus to every 5th grader. So we're a big believer in that. We want to continue that, and I'm hoping in the future we can find other projects to do with the community, because besides just doing local, we help kids. It's about the kids, and we help kids all over. We just approved a project to give kids computers in Belize that need computers. In other parts of the world, we help supply water or clean bathrooms and things like that. So on behalf of the Oro Valley Rotary, I want to thank the town for letting us participate in it. It was a lot of fun. And most of all, the kids are having fun.
So, absolutely. Okay? Steve, on behalf of the... Yeah. Council and staff, we're very appreciative for this contribution to our community, to the community center, to the children mm-hmm. of the town of Oro Valley. It looked like a lot of heart went into this project. And you have some other friends here from the Rotary Club
to introduce? And a lot of them participated. John Barnett there is our president.
Uh-huh.
I'm the treasurer. We have Mark Snow. Barb McClure, who is the real... I have no artistic ability. So when I got myself into this, I sent a letter out to all the Rotary members and said, help. Somebody needs to help me with this racetrack because I can't even draw stick figures. And one last thing I'd like to mention is where we get these funds. It is our main fundraiser every year, which this year is going to be March 29th at, it's called the Taste of Oro Valley, and we're holding it at Steam Pump Ranch, so we're renting the facilities from the town. And we have 15 to 20 restaurants bring in local food, and we have a band playing, and it's a great fundraiser, and it helps us do projects like this.
Absolutely.
Oh. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Christy, what other facility can we get in here with Parks and Rec this evening?
Oh, don't get me started there.
Thank you.
Mr. Standish, presentation two.
Presentation and update by President CEO Brent DeRad of Visit Tucson.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of council. So this is our third. We have three more presentations from our regional partners, and we're happy to have Brent DeRad from Visit Tucson here. The town has been partnering with Visit Tucson for nearly 30 years. So quite impressive. And so we've asked Brent today to give you an overview of what they're doing, some of the past, a look ahead, and then to also briefly discuss. So this summer, they undertook, and actually it was for almost a year, looking at developing a robust Metro Tucson Tourism Master Plan. And that was adopted by their board this summer. And so it's going to have Brent talk about that a little bit. Councilmember Nicholson served on that implementation process, if you will, and I served as the staff liaison. Once Brent concludes, I want to give you guys a brief update, because as part of your guys' strategic plan that you adopted is to have the town adopt a robust visitors plan. So I'll turn it over to Brent.
Mayor Winfield, members of the council, thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you for your ongoing partnership with us. And as I go through the presentation, please feel free at any point if you'd like to interject with questions, anything I can answer for you, please feel free to do so. Let's start with some of the travel impacts on Pima County as a whole. When we take a look at just the visitor spending alone coming into this county, it's $2.5 billion annually. And the industry is one of the top employers out there as well, with 25,000 jobs tied into tourism from that perspective. And so when you take a look at just the 7 million overnight visitors, sometimes it's surprising to folks that Phoenix is our top feeder market, and it is every month of the year. We knew it would be in terms of the summer with all the staycations, but Phoenix for us, that tie is really important. Sonora, we are one of, I think, two, and you'll see acronyms throughout the presentation, DMOs, CVBs, as you know, for destination marketing organizations, Convention and Visitors Bureaus, but we're one of two that actually has a visitor center in Mexico. And we have two visitor centers, one in Hermosillo and one in Ciudad Obregón as well. So Sonora is big for us. As you continue down the list, a lot of the largest cities in the United States, and when you take a look at our top 20 feeder markets as well, any place where we have nonstop flights, not surprisingly, would be among our top feeder markets out there as well. So air service development for us is certainly a key factor. There we go. Taking a look at who we are as Visit Tucson, I mentioned just in terms of some of the acronyms, we are a destination marketing organization, nonprofit company. At the end of the day, we are here to market, sell, and promote Metro Tucson, and that certainly includes Oro Valley as a very important part of that overall mix as well. But for us, being able to bring in leisure travel, we bring in a lot of meetings, a lot of different sports events as well. So from our perspective, we want to make sure that we're looking at a lot of different ways to make an impact. With 40 staff and 11 different departments, it sounds large to some folks, no question. But some of the things that we do that are a little bit different than most organizations like ours, we have an in-house marketing department. One of the things, I've been in this business 25 years, and I've paid millions of dollars of fees to advertising agencies. Some are just absolutely fantastic. I certainly get that. But what we found is, believe it or not, we consider our $10.2 million budget a little bit limited. But we want to make sure we make the best use out of that. And so for us, having people in-house who can actually conduct all of that marketing and do that in-house, who live our brand, who can produce that on a daily basis, that's really important. We have a film department. That's two people and a volunteer. Last year we brought in terms of just small movies, a lot of different television episodes, that kind of thing, reality television, about $10 million in direct spending. We also have a sports department, which is a little bit different as well. So that's one of the reasons that adds up. We're funded through bed tax. And so we, in terms of our contract with the town of Oro Valley, certainly with the city of Tucson and with Pima County, all the money that comes into us would be bed tax revenue, nothing from the general fund per se. And then the other 10% comes from private sector. Looking at from a lodging perspective, you can see some of the massive growth that we've had out there over the past 6 years. The numbers for 2019 are trending upward as well. I think we're going to have, again, a very good year. Probably overall revenue should be up in the 5-7% range once the year has concluded. But again, when you take a look, and I always try to make sure I address acronyms up there, RevPAR is revenue per available room. That's a function of occupancy and rates. So when we look at your hotels and resorts out there, that's something that we take a look at. Another thing, too, I didn't really address in a slide, but I should mention, I serve as chairman of the Arizona Lodging and Tourism Association. One of the things that we've looked at as well is being able to ensure that short-term vacation rentals charge, collect, and remit the full amount of the bed tax. What had happened previous to January 1 is that the state's portion was being collected, but nothing on the county or the municipal side. So hopefully in terms of the bed tax collections, you're going to start to see additional revenue coming in from short-term vacation rentals as well. For us, that's important because we've seen fairly stagnant just levels in terms of just the number of hotel rooms in the region. When I got here in 2012, there were about 16,000 rooms. We're down to 15,000 now throughout this marketplace. What we're seeing is, especially in downtown Tucson, we'll probably add about 800 rooms coming up here in the not-too-distant future. And certainly with Oro Valley, there's opportunity out there as well as you take a look at that and move ahead. But when you come to short-term vacation rentals, the number of units have increased from roughly 1,500 throughout the entire metro area a year ago up to 2,400 currently. And it continues to grow. So I think that could be an important source of revenue. And then also, as more homes are rented out like that, there comes other issues as well that you have to take a look at and deal with as you move ahead. Peak season growth, one of the keys for us in terms of looking at the growth in hotel revenue and what we're seeing out there as well, we really needed to solidify what was happening in peak season. So for us, Metro Tucson actually led the Western United States in hotel occupancy this past February, just over 85%. We were really proud of that. And then taking a look at March, again, a little bit of a hangover having lost spring training baseball. So in 2012, we were looking at high 60s in terms of that occupancy rate. We're now up to 84%. Metro Phoenix, which has 15 Major League Baseball teams there for spring training, is at 89% in March. So we've really closed that gap, and we're proud of that. One of the things that we're looking at here as well is just the gym show. So when you take a look at the Tucson Gym Mineral and Fossil Showcase, last year 48 shows. We're going to go up to 50 shows this year. But we've been able to work with one of the gym shows and with Hilton El Conquistador. So in February of 21, we will actually have one of the gym shows at El Conquistador, and we're certainly excited about that as well. Some of the reasons for travel growth, believe me, Metro Tucson's not alone in terms of the growth. As the economy goes, so goes travel. As you can imagine, whether it's in your own individual household or a company that you're running, when times get difficult, one of the first things that gets cut is travel. So we're heavily dependent upon the economy for that growth, and we've been fortunate to see strong economy through the course of time. We're going to be out there marketing, selling, and promoting. One of the things I would mention is, we certainly can't at Visit Tucson take credit for all that growth by any means, but we are growing at a faster rate than many other cities in the western U.S., and that's something that we need to be able to continue to move forward with is just picking up market share on Phoenix, Scottsdale, and several other cities out there as we move ahead. Probably the biggest change for us, I won't read through all that, but the biggest change for us has been on the media relations side. So you go back to a couple of slides and think about, 40 full-time staff. One of the things that we did is, we added three people into our public relations team. And we went from, in 2014, we had about $5 million in travel media coverage for this entire Metro Tucson area. We added those people. The next year, we went to $17 million. The next year, we went to $32 million. We're now at $32 to $35 million annually in terms of the amount of travel media coverage. So being able to be on, different food-related network television shows, being in the New York Times, USA Today, and places like that. With our budget, I'm never going to be able to out-advertise Las Vegas and some of those places. But if we can ensure that we're in there, incredible sources that talk about just the culture of our region and what there is to see and do, we see great value in that. Bottom line, for all of us in the room here, is the return on investment. So what we take a look at is the only aspects that I can measure accurately would be the meetings and the sports-related events. So we'll generate leads. We send the leads out throughout the region. So you're going to see venues. You're going to see hotels and resorts, not only in Oral Valley, but in the city of Tucson, unincorporated Pima County respond to this. But you've got, in terms of the business that we've been able to book into your facilities and into your resorts and hotels here, it's a 43-to-1 return on investment last year, and that's a $12.9 million economic impact. What we do, and not to get too deep into the weeds, but there's an economic impact calculator that we at Visit Tucson and about 400 other groups like us throughout the world that we use. What we do is we just plug in the variables, and that would be the rates paid at the hotels, for example. That's going to be length of stay and other things like that, just so that we can take a look at how much is a meeting worth to this marketplace as well. We do that on the meeting side and the sports side. So I've got hard numbers there that we can take a look at. When you look at just the first quarter of this fiscal year, July through September, which is obviously typically our slow time, you're going to see a 13-to-1 return on investment already for this fiscal year as well. So any leisure travel that we're able to steer your direction, let's just call that added value. And we're proud to be able to do that. Oral Valley is a remarkable community, and we certainly love the relationship. So again, with your $300,000 investment, again, right now, so far through the first quarter, was about $3.9 million in economic impact out there as well. The only community, many years ago I worked in Scottsdale, they actually went through the exercise of trying to figure out how much sales tax visitors paid in addition to the bed tax. They came up with about $2.50 in sales tax for every dollar spent in bed tax. So it's just one of those things, too, to factor in when you take a look at your sales taxes that are coming in. There's certainly a visitor component to that as well. What's your investment buy? We've talked about the 40 staff. We've talked about meetings and sports events. We work closely with town staff. They're incredibly helpful, incredibly supportive to us, and they're a big reason why we're able to go ahead and get so many different meetings booked, along with different sports events as well. Some of the things that we look at, Oral Valley Aquatic Center is a tremendous venue for us. We're proud to be able to get out there and certainly market El Conquistador Golf and Tennis, no doubt about that as well. Now, one of the things that we're bringing in is the Mountain West Conference, a collegiate athletic conference. They're going to bring their tennis championships to El Conquistador coming up in May. We're certainly excited about that. But also just looking at Major League Soccer, we think there's a really good opportunity to bring the New York Red Bulls back again this year, and we'll certainly continue down that path as well. Some of the leisure marketing, again, any leisure visitor that we bring in, we'll call that added value, but it keeps us certainly on our toes. The leisure marketing is something that we take a great deal of pride in. On the social media side, we've made great advancements, I think, over the past couple of years. We're on track this year to get 2 million engagements when it comes to social media. Engagements are when somebody likes or shares or comments on different social media posts, and we want to make sure that Oral Valley is prominently featured on our social media. You'll find us on Facebook. We get a lot of compliments on Instagram. We're on Twitter, and we've actually engaged in Pinterest, which I didn't realize would be such a popular venue for us from a travel standpoint, so that's been great. For us, you have so much to be able to market and sell. I consider Oral Valley to really be that high-end opportunity for us to be able to market out there to different leisure travelers and certainly to different meetings groups out there, too. You can see up there so much to be able to market. One of the things I haven't talked about yet, and I should, especially based on some of the folks in the audience, cycling is incredibly important for us. And what we see more and more is that we see cyclists coming in from Canada, in a large amount. You'll see that certainly in the winter, but you'll see people actually bring their bikes in as well when they travel. One of the things we're working on with Tucson International Airport is a bike assembly area as well within there, so that the people that do fly their bikes in, that they can go ahead and get those put back together. Some of the things that we think could add value as well is being able to add some bike aid stations in different places throughout this region. And I would certainly think that Catalina State Park, perhaps some of the trail areas as well, could be great opportunities when it comes to that. Your strategic leadership plan, for us, you've got a two-year plan in place right now. Tourism certainly mentioned in there, talked earlier about working with your town staff. That's something that we want to be able to continue to do. Again, Amanda was incredibly involved. She was on our steering committee for our tourism master plan, which took just over a year. I'd also be remiss not to mention and thank Councilmember Nicholson. He served on our board for the past year. He's been very involved in the tourism master plan. Just an exemplary board member. Never missed a meeting. His input was and always has been well received, and we appreciate that very much as well. Some of the areas that we want to work with you on, and I've got a slide coming up here. I promise just a couple more slides and I'll be done, but we'll talk about our tourism master plan a little bit. But what this comes back to is we want to make sure with our tourism master plan and with your plan that we really take a look at what are your desires for the community and with residents. I'm proud to be an Oral Valley resident, but for all the residents here as well, what is it that you want to see in terms of this community? For us, a tourism master plan comes back to quality of life, because one of the things that we've seen is great places to live or places to visit. How do we help you with that vision? And we're here to be supportive from that standpoint. We're always happy to weigh in, but we want to be as supportive as we possibly can in terms of helping you realize your vision for this community. It's really important to us, and I think that with this tourism master plan, that's the type of thing we want to take a look at. We're talking about infrastructure. We're working with Sun Corridor in terms of economic development. We're working with the different municipalities in terms of how can we aid your economic development efforts. Tourism and economic development really go hand in hand. A good example, as a region, we were able to bring in Caterpillar's surface mining division a few years ago. Shortly following that was Hexagon coming in. We learned just recently that Hexagon books 3,000 hotel room nights annually with all the customers that it brings in. We're now working very closely with Hexagon and helping them with that process. But that's just one good example. From a tourism perspective, it's great to see those hotel rooms filled. But if it wasn't for the efforts to bring in Caterpillar and bring in other companies, that never would have happened. And so that's something that we need to continue to be engaged with as we move ahead. So with our master plan, what we're looking at for us, success looks like 3% compounded growth annually. We just introduced the plan in August. We put 25 tactics into our current three-year strategic plan. This is the final year of that plan. And then what we'll end up doing is a series of three-year strategic plans that we'll use to be able to go in and implement this tourism master plan. We update the tactics annually. We've got to make sure that we're on top of what's happening out there, from a an overall economic standpoint, and then also just the changing values and needs of the communities that that we serve out there as well. Well-being is one of the pillars, one of the things that we've seen and heard out there as well, not only from residents, but as we talk with you know, our different stakeholders out there. This metro area is a huge bastion of well-being. People like to come here to be able to get away from just the if you're coming from New York, you're coming from L.A. and San Francisco, you want to come to a place that's very different than your daily reality. We offer that, and we have to be able to get that message out in a big way. But well-being, placemaking, there's a tremendous opportunity. You've got a developer at Oro Valley Marketplace, I think, that's aggressive, that has a great vision. With J.J. Johnston and the team, you're going to be in great hands there. We're looking forward to that. Connectivity, just making sure that, again, to what extent do you want Oro Valley to grow? What does that look like? What is just in terms of connectivity, how do you want to connect to the rest of the Metro Tucson area? What does that look like, and how can we help you with that? You take a look at culture. One of the things that that we want to make sure that we're doing as well is looking at your cultural assets, being able to push those forward. We're wide open in terms of any thoughts, suggestions, input that you might have there as well. Development and investment, that's something that you're on top of already. Looking at what's happening with the University of Arizona, looking at some of the companies that you have based here in Oro Valley already, including one of the world's largest companies that deals with DMOs, SimpleView. It's, you know, for us, just we work with them very closely, and what else can we bring into the town that works there as well? And I've talked about that process then as well, just in terms of three-year strategic plans. So with that, that concludes my presentation, and I would be delighted to answer any questions.
Why don't we bring Amanda up, and then if you'll stay nearby, Brent.
And I'll try to be quick, Mayor and Council. So again, we've talked about the Metro Tucson tourism plan. And so again, this was a great return on investment. So Visit Tucson invested $202,000 for this process to hire in a consultant. They had approximately eight community stakeholder meetings. One actually was here in Oro Valley at Western National Parks. They also did multiple community surveys and was out on Facebook. So internally, we've discussed our own strategic plan where it says we need to have a robust visitors plan. And so our recommendation is to not reinvent the wheel. And so what we're going to do is take this plan, and then as Brent said, you know, over the next 3 years, looking at budget, looking at those tactics that have been identified, what are we maybe currently doing? What are we looking at near term, midterm, and long term? And so we'll be bringing that back to council in the next year. And that's all I have.
Okay. Council questions for Brent or Amanda?
Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to make a statement. I want to thank you for the hard work that you've done year over year. One of the things that Oro Valley benefits from is that we get to use the shared services that the partnership provides. That would be a lot more cost to the town if we didn't use those. So thank you for the great job that you do and for the benefit that we receive.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Councilmember Nicholson or Vice Mayor Barrett?
Yeah, I'd just like to thank Brent and his staff. They're very intelligent. They work very hard. And, yeah, I think they bring in a good investment. Like you talked about the 13-to-1 ratio, that's about 7%. So basically the tax that they come in, that brings that in. And then the other 93% of the money is not gone. That goes to people who own small shops, restaurants, travel. People go out and do exploring, spend money in our economy, and a lot of that money comes from outside of Arizona. So anytime you bring money outside Arizona and bring it in, that 93% of the money goes right back to our community, and that, you know, the velocity of cash, you know, it recycles through our economy and it helps grow our economy, and the tax base from that is excellent too. But thanks, Brent, and thanks for having me for the last year. I really enjoyed it and learned a lot. It's great.
Thank you for that good presentation.
Okay. Brent, we really appreciate your being here this evening. Amanda, thank you. And we're very happy to have this partnership with Visit Tucson. I'm really excited about this Tourism Master Plan. And I think there's a lot of things that are transferable to the town of Oro Valley. Bicycling certainly stands out. We have some awesome resources that the folks spoke about in Honeybee Canyon, Catalina State Park, and of course some wonderful road biking as well. So we're part of the loop and a lot of good things.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Thank you. Yeah.
The next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. Councilmember Pena, you want to pull item C?
Yeah, I'd like to pull item C, please. On page 11, under the heading Top Long-Term Action Items, item number one, and this is for probably Buyer, Mr. Vella. The first one is increase accessibility of the Community Academy program by researching and possibly implementing different methods of delivery, i.e. webinars, et cetera. When I read through this, I understand this is basically staff process operations. But I want to make sure when I think of webinars, the Community Academy program is based on face-to-face with staff interaction, with community members being able to interact with one another. So would webinars or the et cetera take away from that ability with the Community Academy program?
Councilmember Pena, I think the order of business is that we pull that item, we approve the consent agenda.
It's fine, yep, you're right.
And then we'll come
go
back.
Ahead.
So that was, do I have a motion for
the rules?
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the consent agenda except for item C as presented.
And do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. So then we'll move into discussion of item C of the consent agenda.
So as I was saying.
Yes, please. Mayor Winfield, Councilperson Pena. So the idea of using webinars is definitely not to replace, if you will, the face-to-face interaction, because I think that's really what makes Community Academy special. The idea is to provide perhaps web access to supplement what we do so that folks that can't make a meeting or for whatever reason can participate remotely. But I agree entirely with your sentiment, your concern that what makes the Academy special is the one-on-one, and there's no plan to change that.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Okay, so I move to approve item C of the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Passes. We'll go to the regular agenda. Item one, Mr. Standish.
Nomination. Nomination and election of vice mayor.
Okay, so I'd like to open for nominations for vice mayor.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Jones Ivy.
I'd like to nominate Melanie Barrett as vice mayor.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Solomon.
I'd like to nominate Councilmember Rodman as vice mayor.
Okay, so we have two nominations on the floor. So
it's fine.
It's fine.
For now, we'll see how this goes for a little bit.
Okay. Well, can we take a vote?
Or have a
we need a second. So a second with two nominations? Is that?
We can do it that way. Okay. Technically, maybe not right, but let's see how this goes.
Okay. Any other nominations? Okay. Hearing none. Is there a second on those?
I'll second it.
Okay. So we have a second, two nominations.
Second for both?
Second for both.
Second for both.
Okay. Discussion?
Well, was the second by the same person who made the motion?
I might have missed that. Okay, sorry.
That's right.
I did too.
We need someone else to second that.
I second it.
Okay.
Okay. Open for discussion.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Solomon.
I think it'd be very positive to have a new vice mayor, particularly one with a good number of years of experience, who has the respect of the community. And I believe that would be Councilmember Rodman, and he would contribute enormously to the position. And I also think that it's appropriate that since Councilmember Barrett has already served the year as vice mayor, that it's time to let another council member step in and serve in that capacity. That was a comment made quite a bit about by this council regarding the boards and commissions and not keeping and retaining people, but to bring in new people. I would assume the same argument would apply to the position of vice mayor. And I think it'd be very beneficial to the community to have a new vice mayor who is starting off with a clean slate and a long record of service to the community.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Pena.
One of the things that I think about when we look at different perspectives from different council members, that's one of the things that makes a good governing body, because everybody has different input, different perspectives. And I think with having Councilmember Rodman as a vice mayor, it might add a different perspective. This council has been through some really interesting events and conversations this year with the topics that we've governed on. And so moving forward, I think that Councilmember Rodman would bring a different perspective to work with the mayor. So I'm in favor of Councilmember Rodman being the vice mayor for the following year.
You know, regardless of titles, whether our title is mayor, vice mayor, council member, we all have the opportunity, of course, to share our perspectives, our view. We each have one vote. I'm certainly eager to work with each of the members of council. I have certainly benefited from Vice Mayor Barrett's leadership and her role as vice mayor this past year. She served admirably, has respect of the community. She's an incredibly articulate individual. She certainly has the courage of her convictions and is a compassionate individual. You know, I've reached out to some of our adjoining communities to try to understand how the vice mayor role functions. Speaking with Mayor Murphy, their vice mayor, it's a two-year term, so to speak, and the same with the town of Marana. Ours happens to come up each year. But I think as I've talked with Elder or Mayor Honey and Mayor Murphy, that they've certainly expressed the value in having an individual in that role that has had some experience. And I certainly believe that Vice Mayor Barrett could, in my absence, would lead these meetings well, represents the community well. As I mentioned, she's incredibly articulate.
Mr. Mayor?
Just one moment.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Vice Mayor. What, if you could just, so Mr. Cohen, help me understand how we will get to a vote at some point.
So while perhaps not perfectly articulately phrased, we have a situation where that we have everybody understands here that we have a motion to elect either
right.
Vice Mayor Rodman, Councilmember Rodman, or Vice Mayor Barrett as the next vice mayor. So we're debating which of the two, and then after you have your debate, you can take a vote on which one it will be, and I think we'll be done.
All right.
But, make a comment
okay, I believe I asked well, for just, recognition.
Okay, but I haven't recognized you, so just a moment, please. So I would just ask the council if we could limit our debate. Let's make our contribution as to why we might favor one or another.
Point of
order. And then,
if you want to limit debate, it requires a vote which is greater than a majority. You can't just impose that.
What? So, Mr. Cohen, do I have some flexibility in that regards?
You do. If we're going to be you know, technical with the Robert rules. If you go by strict Robert's rules, which are used in conjunction with the rules of the town, technically each person, and when there's a pending motion, is limited to speaking twice on a pending motion. So we have been liberal on that in the past, but the mayor does have the authority to invoke that. But Councilmember Solomon is right. Other than that, if we were going to have a different or a more narrower limitation, that would require a two-thirds vote. But the two times per motion is a rule.
Thank you. So Councilmember Solomon followed by Councilmember Pena.
With all due respect.
Yep, Mr. Mayor.
I apologize.
I also Okay.
Right. So and Vice Mayor Barrett, you'll follow Councilmember Pena.
With all due respect, this is Oro Valley. It's not Marana or some other municipality. Also, with all due respect regarding leadership of meetings, Mr. Mayor, you've constantly relied on the graciousness of Councilmember Rodman to help you through these meetings, particularly in the early days when you were new. You were constantly seeking his advice on what to do and how to run the meeting. Obviously, he is eminently qualified to run these meetings and has much more experience in running meetings in various organizations than other council members. So I don't think your arguments really have any validity to that. The other question is, how does the community receive these two different nominees? And I think that you'd find the community has an extremely different perception of the two nominees, and I'll leave it at that, and for the vote.
Thank you. Councilmember Pena, then Vice Mayor Barrett.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to echo Councilmember Rodman's sentiments that we are a different community. We are not Marana or other communities. And while we do have the opportunity to talk to our fellow elected officials in other towns to look at potentially best practices, for things of this nature, this is a leadership decision that is specific to Oro Valley. And if we choose to do something different by going with a different vice mayor this coming year, that's not necessarily a bad thing. And I guess I would ask the question, other than what you've stated, why not do it? Why not give somebody an opportunity? They are not in the majority, it's obvious, because of the different 4-3 votes that go on and some other different votes that have been made. But for the most part, it's usually 4-3. But why not do something different and have someone that would be, like I said, give a different perspective and kind of be different, be our own town. We are unique, and we could follow that pattern with a decision like this. Thank you.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Yes, I just wanted to comment. I have been honored to serve as the vice mayor this past year. I've certainly learned a lot. This has been a learning experience for me. I've worked hard over the past year to serve the community, and I think I would enjoy continuing to make progress and improvement and continuing to put my best effort in and continue to serve our community. But that being said, and I'm also willing to serve in whatever capacity the council asks, and particularly in regards to what the mayor would ask me to do. That being said, I also have tremendous respect for Councilmember Rodman and his many abilities, and so that's my only comment. Thank you.
Any other comments from...
My recommendation at this point is that you just call for the vote on one of the two.
Okay.
And we'll go through it. And if one of them gets a majority vote, then the other one doesn't. And if they don't, we will go to the next vote on the second candidate.
All right. Thank you. So we'll do a roll call vote for the motion for Councilmember Melanie Barrett, Vice Mayor Melanie Barrett, to serve as the Vice Mayor.
Mayor Winfield?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Barrett?
Aye.
Councilmember Jones Ivy?
Aye.
Councilmember Nicholson?
Aye.
Councilmember Pena?
No.
Councilmember Rodman?
Aye.
Councilmember Solomon?
Nay.
Regular agenda item 2.
2A, resolution number R19-56, declaring the proposed amendments to the various sections of the special events section of the Oro Valley Town Code provided as Exhibit A within the attached resolution and filed with the town clerk a public record.
So there's no discussion?
Mr. Mayor, this item is just to declare the record a public record, so the discussion and the presentation would take place on 2B.
Okay. So entertain a motion.
I move to adopt resolution number R19-56, declaring the proposed amendments to various sections of the Special Events Code of the Oro Valley Town Code attached hereto as Exhibit A and filed with the town clerk as public record.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Aye. Mr. Standish, 2B.
Ordinance number O19-09, amending various sections of Article 8-3 of the Oro Valley Town Code relating to the special events permit.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of council. I'm back, but talking about something different. So we're requesting an amendment to the special event Town Code. Mr. Mayor, members of council, I do not have a formal PowerPoint presentation and would just like to go kind of step by step for the changes that staff's proposing and just kind of have more of a conversation if that's okay with you guys. All right, so if you're looking at the Town Code, so Article 8-3, one big change is changing the word permit to either application or approval. And that's for just a few reasons. Right now, we're having to rely on the permitting division to issue a permit, whereas right now, the special events process is actually managed by me in the manager's office. And so with that, it's actually some efficiencies, not just for staff, but for our community. Instead of sending them kind of back and forth through the various buildings. So our proposal is just to change that word to application or approval as you're going through it. If there's no questions about that. So the next thing that we added, which we're actually pretty excited about. So under park use, we kind of had a lot of teeth in here where we were restricting the Parks and Recreation Department so that, you know, oftentimes we have our parents who are serving in that special event role on behalf of Basis or Lehman, and so they would go to Parks and Recreation, and then they would have to be referred to myself and the Special Events Committee because they had 3 or 4 food trucks or inflatables. And so we obviously trust our park staff. And so one thing that is exciting about this change is having to go through our formal special event process can take anywhere between 15 to 30 days. By changing this and entrusting our Parks and Recreation staff, this is now 3 hours of staff time, and then our residents having to wait for approval. So that is a significant time and cost saving. So time is money. If they're waiting to hire vendors or to see if we have a approval, it's much more efficient. So we're proposing that. If you go to the next page under the special event and shall not include, we're proposing to also include not just our school functions, but also religious facilities. Quite often, we have obviously a lot of religious facilities. They have their fall festivals, and they feel like they have to go through our process when they're cooking inside. They may have some inflatables. So we're wanting to also add our religious facilities in there so they don't have to go through us. Now, the caveat is if there's any spillover. And what we mean by spillover is if now they start impacting roads, and it becomes a public safety issue where we have to tap into our experts in public works as well as the police department. There's no questions on that. The next thing is we're adding, so we adopted this code almost 10 years ago, and we're just now having staff look, and they're like, wait a second, we never included a minor event definition, so we've added that definition. And again, that's minor in nature and doesn't require that spillover, making it a major event. So next thing, as you're kind of going through here, it's again the whole approval versus the permitting. And then we're also wanting to strike out Economic Development Division. We no longer have an Economic Development Division. We have an Economic Development Department. And then instead of having to keep coming back to council to change, you know, oh, it was once in the clerk's office, engineering, we're just putting Town of Oro Valley. At the end of the day, we're all the Town of Oro Valley. And Mr. Mayor, I think that's all of our changes. And so staff is respectfully requesting that you adopt and amend these changes.
Any questions from council?
No.
No. So there is a public hearing associated with this?
It unfortunately is not listed on the agenda, but it is a public hearing since it is an ordinance to amend town code.
Okay. So I'll open the public hearing. I have no blue cards. Is there anyone here this evening that wants to speak to this particular item? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing.
I'm sorry to interrupt your meeting. I apologize. I try not to do that, as I think people have heard me say many times. At this point, my recommendation is that somebody make a motion to continue the consideration of this item to the next meeting, because I'm now understanding that there was an inadvertent error in not posting a public hearing. So theoretically, perhaps it didn't happen, but theoretically, if a public hearing should have been in the agenda and someone could have maybe wanted, would have come tonight and would have spoken. So that's my suggestion.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion.
Councilmember Solomon.
I move that we continue item number 2, amending various sections of the Oro Valley Town Code relating to special event permits, to the next regularly scheduled council meeting due to the error in posting of the public hearing.
Second.
I'll second that.
Okay, second. All in favor?
Aye.
And Councilmember Solomon, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Okay, so we'll go to regular agenda item 3.
Presentation regarding the town's progress on implementing the Your Voice, Our Future general plan.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Melanie Sims, and I'm a principal planner with the Town of Oro Valley. So our purpose this evening is to present the town's progress on implementing the Your Voice, Our Future general plan. This annual progress report is required by state law and also recommended in the general plan. However, it is also part of the town's ongoing commitment to fulfilling the community's vision. As with most public processes, many wonder if their feedback makes a difference. And in Oro Valley, it does, as historically, the town has a tradition of implementing general plans. And it is my pleasure, on behalf of all town staff and departments, to present that this general plan is no different. We are less than halfway through the implementation period, yet have fulfilled or are in the progress of completing 83% of the general plan's tasks. I will explain what this percentage means later in my presentation. But first, just as an overview of the general plan and how it is implemented, it is a 10-year policy document guiding the town's decisions through 2026. It represents the community's values, goals, and visions, and was ratified by 71% of the voters in 2016. It includes 3 main sections covering actions and policies for creating a complete community, protecting environmental and cultural resources, and smart development. The 4th section of the report includes specific actions and tasks to fulfill the community's vision, which was created by the public through committees and is the focus of tonight's presentation. These actions are further prioritized every 2 years through strategic plans and further refined through department work plans. To date, 2 strategic plans have been based on the current general plan and 3 more to come.
The relationship between these documents is shown on the graphic on the screen. I do want to mention that this graphic is also in the general plan. Public outreach during the creation of the general plan was of the utmost importance and very extensive. Starting in 2013, outreach was conducted through various methods, which are shown on the screen, again resulting in ratification by 71% of the voters. The town's progress report is important to let residents know the promises made in the community during this outreach period are being fulfilled. So as stated earlier, the general plan is a 10-year policy document, and the actions in the general plan are prioritized every 2 years through strategic plans. These priorities are then further refined through department work plans. And to date, there have been two strategic plans created from this general plan. The most recent one was adopted by your council in March. And there will be three more strategic plans based off this 10-year plan to come. So the general plan includes goals and policies and actions for achieving the community's vision. From those actions, there are 308 specific tasks for the town to complete. These tasks are divided by time frame, ranging from 2 to 10 years, and with some tasks being ongoing or maintained as part of staff's daily operations. Overall, 255, or 83% of the tasks, are either completed, maintained, or are in progress. And as you can see from the screen, the majority of these tasks are maintained as part of staff's ongoing routine. So of the 255 tasks, 9 notable achievements are listed on the screen. These include the adoption of the 2018 building code, which fulfilled some of the actions related to the environment section by utilizing energy-efficient materials and standards, the adoption of the comprehensive economic development strategy, with which its implementation will achieve several of the tasks related to economic development, as well as the completion of a 10-year facility needs assessment. Again, several of the tasks of the general plan require ongoing maintenance. Notably, the town has maintained the pavement preservation program and continues to monitor and protect our water resources. Additionally, the town continues to collaborate with regional partners, such as the one you heard from tonight, on various projects and efforts. 88 of the tasks in the general plan are aligned with the current strategic leadership plan, which initiated several projects such as development of a parks and recreation master plan, review of the environmentally sensitive lands ordinance, and an annexation blueprint. Again, I just want to mention this is just a quick summary of some of the notable achievements. However, this is only 9 of those 255, and attached within your staff report are more detailed analysis. There are 53 items that are notated and recommended for future items on future strategic plans. They have been evaluated, but by design, most of them are deemed medium or long-term items needing more additional resources to complete. For instance, replacing all the fleet vehicles with energy-efficient vehicles. Again, there will be 3 more strategic plans based on this general plan, so they are recommended for one of those 3 to make sure they are completed within the 10 years. So in summary, that wraps up my presentation. I just want to remind you that it is a 10-year policy document, and we've had 2 strategic plans to help prioritize all those actions, 3 more to come. 83%, though, have been completed, are maintained, or are in progress. The next steps is we do want to let the community know the town's progress on this and their feedback and the commitments made are being fulfilled. So we will be working with our communications department to get that information out in the new year. And I do want to let everybody here tonight and the public know that the general plan is available online to read. It makes a great Christmas story. It's online at oravalleyaz.gov. Just search general plan. And that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Open the questions from council.
Mr. Mayor, just a comment. Very good, Melanie. The presentation was very good, and thank you to the staff for doing a great job and continuing with this process. So, appreciate it. Thank you.
Any other
Mr.
comment?
Mayor?
Yes, Vice Mayor Barron.
I'd just like to make a similar comment and echo what Councilmember Pena said. I know
many of us were involved in the creation of the general plan, whether it was on various task forces or on the council or on different commissions or on citizen groups that gave input and commentary. And it's good to see some of those actions and plans coming to fruition. And I appreciate the work of our staff in helping that to be the case, because all that we can really do is say, you know, here's some policy direction, and the staff does a lot of making that happen and making sure that our roads remain strong and our safety strong and those other things that are in our general plan and our parks and recreation systems. So I thank you for your work and your progress on those policy objectives from our citizens. Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay. I'd just like to express, as I reviewed the various tasks and comments, just an impressive amount of work that's being completed by our staff. And it's just incredibly responsive to the community. I've always held your voice, our future, as an incredible example of community involvement. I think it's a real reflection of our community's vision and desires and expectations. And I think the more we can implement and align the work that we do with that, that we can't help but be successful. So I express appreciation for what represents a lot of hard work.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
So, hearing no, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, future agenda items. I have no call to the audience, no blue cards for call to the audience. Okay. So, if these individuals are here, you have the opportunity to. Speak. Matt Lingard. Lily Lingard. I have a feeling you folks are all in one vehicle. Aaron Lingard.
I think he came in and left.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if we could reach out to these individuals, thank you. So we'll now have executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03. And or two, and or three, and or four, regarding pending search for a new police chief. If I could ask for a motion.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, maybe it's after a motion is made, but I have some questions, and I'd like a roll call vote on the motion to go into executive
session.
I would also
like it discussed as a typical motion is discussed, because I have some concerns.
Do we have a motion? I didn't hear a motion to go into executive session, so we need that. We need a second.
Okay, I'll make a motion to go into executive session.
I'll second that.
Vote to go into executive session with the following members of staff, town manager, town attorney, and the town clerk.
And before we get into the discussion, just a caution. It would be inappropriate to, with regard to the topic on the executive session, anything other than how it's listed on the agenda, the general topic of this executive session involving the search for the new police chief would be inappropriate. So it needs to stay at that level and no further.
So we have a motion, second, discussion. Councilmember Rodman.
So, Gary, under that ruling that you just gave, somebody can say it's an executive session, say it's police search, and nobody can talk about it. Nobody can talk about some part of it, which is the reason for probably saying it's not appropriate for executive session. So under your ruling, we can't even raise that issue because we can't say the part of it that we believe is not appropriate for executive session. So I don't get that. I doubt if that's the way it works. I doubt the Attorney General would agree. So the fact of the matter is that we have to be able to, as any one of us in any issue, we have to be able to disagree. And we have to be able to decide whether, or get the Attorney General to decide, whether it's appropriate. There is a piece of this search that I believe strongly, and I believe that we would win that case, that should not be in executive session. Now, we talked about this at the last meeting, and you were asked the question, who decides, and you said you do. Is there any other way? You didn't mention an appeal to the Attorney General. I think there is one. But is that what we need to do if we absolutely disagree with going into executive session for this?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Rodman, from the 100,000-foot level, the executive session statutes preclude the public, right or wrong, from knowing what is discussed in the executive session. Therefore, if we were to delve into the further than as I've ruled and discuss the topics that you don't think should be discussed back there, we're essentially disclosing what the topic would be. So it would be, in my strong opinion, a violation of the executive session law, which I don't want any of you folks to get in trouble for. So that's why I'm making a ruling in order to do my job to protect the seven of you and this body. So that's the rationale for my ruling. I'm not familiar with a way to challenge that. I'm not trying to, hide anything. I'm trying to make sure that we stick within the parameters of the executive session law, which, again, right or wrong, are entirely designed to keep certain topics away from the public at this current time. So to me, it's pretty straightforward that this discussion that we're having now would have to be limited to whether you want to go into executive session to talk about some issues regarding the pending search for a new police chief or not, no more and no less.
So to follow up on that, then I guess what I asked you was what the options are if, in fact, there is disagreement. Because if there are no options, then something's wrong with the statute. But I think is the option that we, if we want to make sure we're as transparent as possible in this issue, that we vote at least majority saying, no, we don't want to go into executive session, is that our option?
Mr. Mayor, Councilman Rodman, that's exactly how I understand it.
So if the majority says, no, we want to go into executive session on that, then that's a decision. I mean, that's how that gets done. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Solomon.
Okay. I think we have some serious transparency problems here. First off, and this is all straight from the state website and the Attorney General's rulings in the past. Quote, while the open meeting law does not permit executive sessions for discussing certain matters, it does not require that these discussions take place in executive session. In other words, even the seven items that are exempt from the open meeting law and can qualify to go in executive session do not have to be discussed in executive session. It's up to the body to decide that. Of course, executive session is less transparency. Now, here's what's very bothersome to me. I do not believe, according to the Attorney General and the statute, that this qualifies for an executive session. What is stated here is regarding pending search for a new police chief. And we say under sections 1, 2, 3, and 4. Let's look at each one of those sections and what the Attorney General says. Section 1, personnel matters. This authorization for an executive session applies only to discussions concerning specific officers, appointees, and employees, specific individuals, not searching for an individual. If the public body proposes to discuss a personnel matter in an executive session and the affected officer, appointee, or employee requests that discussion occur in a public meeting. Once again, reaffirming this is about one specific individual personnel matter. It goes on to say public bodies should take care to ensure they limit the scope of executive sessions for personnel discussions to true personnel matters. Similarly, a public body may not discuss a class of persons in executive session under the personnel matters provisions. I see no way that this falls under the Attorney General guidelines for personnel matters. Item number 2 that's referred to, confidential records.
An executive session may be held when the public body considers or discusses records exempt by law from public inspections. There are no public records here regarding surveys or opinions or anything else that are exempt by law from public inspection. They give examples as preliminary audit reports to state agencies or complaints against licensees. None of these apply to this situation. So number two is not applicable. Number three, legal advice. This provision can only be used for the purpose of obtaining legal advice, which involves the exchange of communications between the lawyer and client. We are not seeking any legal advice. Contracts have been let. A search is in progress. This is not looking for legal advice on this matter. Number four, litigation, contract negotiations, and settlement discussions. In order to consider its position and instruct its attorneys regarding the public body's position regarding contracts that are the subject of negotiations in pending or contemplated litigation or in settlement discussions conducted in order to avoid or resolve litigation. We are not involved in any of that. My opinion is just the opposite of all due respect to Mr. Cohen. I do not illegally want to go into an executive session. I think this council has tended way too much to go into executive sessions. I believe if it comes to it, there are specific items, if brought to the Attorney General, would show a violation of the use of the executive session where matters that were not listed and matters that were not covered by these items were discussed in our executive sessions. Law prevents me from saying that now, but complaints to the Attorney General do not. I will refuse to vote to violate the open meeting law and to go into an executive session under these guidelines, which are not covered by the statute and the Attorney General's opinions.
Councilmember,
I caution the council in doing this to opening up the town to litigation and violation of open meeting laws.
Councilmember Pena.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have some questions. So my first one is, why were these items published the way they were on the agenda? One and or two and or et cetera, et cetera. And secondly, who authorized it to be published that way?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Pena, I am asked every week to weigh in on the language of the agenda. And when it came to this executive session item, I'm the one who proposed and submitted this language for approval.
Okay, so based on what was just provided to the council and staff, I'm going to request that a written review of these elements, I'd like it from legal, whether it's from town staff or provided through you, Mr. Cohen. I'd like a written review of each of the items and why they do qualify for executive session. And if not, if that's not provided, then I want to know how and what the process is to request an opinion by the state attorney general to review or provide an opinion on how and why these are presented this way and if they qualify for executive session purposes based on what has been provided in the statute ordinances. So can I get from the staff an opinion of why it was written this way and why they qualify based on what we're talking about here?
So at this point, Mr. Mayor and Councilmember Pena, we're beyond the agenda topic and shouldn't be delving into this. But as your lawyer, I'm always happy to provide you with answers to questions you have. So I'm always going to do that. That's my job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But I am requesting that this be put in writing as to how these four elements qualify for executive session purposes. And I want to know when we can expect that.
I understand your request. We cannot discuss this item any further. We are beyond the scope of the agenda item.
How are we beyond the scope of it? I'm asking for a review. We're talking about items 1, 2, 3, 4 that are on executive session. This is a published public document. So I want to know why I can't have that information if it's generalized and if it meets executive session and there's a generalization that meets the statutes, then what is the issue? We're not giving anything away. If we're not talking about an individual, if we're not talking about the things that are specific, then what is the issue with having a written document that says this is how these meet executive session pertaining to this?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Pena, there's never an issue with me as your lawyer who serves at your pleasure with adhering to a request to speak with you on the phone, to meet you somewhere, or to give you a confidential attorney-client privilege communication in writing. And if I receive that request, as you all know, from any of you at any time, I will do my job as instructed. Okay, so it's not a problem.
So that's what I'm asking. I would like a written opinion review of why those are on there and how they are applicable to executive session, and then when is the timeline that we can expect that?
Councilmember, Mr. Mayor, are you instructing me to answer these questions even at this time? I will. When would you like that by?
As soon as possible.
I'll get it to you as soon as possible then. Do my very best.
Thank you.
Councilmember Rodman.
Welcome.
Yeah, again, a question as our town attorney, because I don't know the answer. One item that I would expect to be part of this was discussed publicly and I agendized at the last meeting. So how is that an executive session? How is that limited to an executive session? We talked about it. It was an agenda item. I'm not going to remind you what it was, but because maybe you'll tell me I can't say it, even though we talked about it publicly last time. And it involved the police chief search. And we decided that we were going to wait and we were going to actually talk to the search consultant.
Well, Mr. Mayor, Councilman Rahman, that you're assuming, there's an assumption that that is what's going to be talking about tonight. So, again, you know, my job is to protect this body from violating the law, as I understand it. That's how I understand the law.
So if, in fact, it's brought up, Gary, in the executive session, what I'm referring to, what do I do? Do I say, no, this is an appropriate executive session, and leave? Do I make an official, official objection? What do I do? It will be talked about, but I agree with your point. We don't know that because it's not listed. We're not telling the public what we're going to talk about other than it at the 100,000 square foot level. So as the town attorney and a member of the council, I'm asking for your advice. What do I do?
And just so I'm clear, Mr. Mayor and Councilman Rodman, you're asking me to give you legal advice publicly?
Yep.
That's what I'm being instructed
yes.
to do?
On this issue that I just asked you about.
Okay. My advice is if you want to leave the executive session, you're welcome to do that. If you don't want to go into executive session, then I think you should vote no. And obviously, if you folks are unhappy with my legal advice, there's some pretty obvious steps you can take with regards to me. So, I mean,
Mr. Cohn, I am not attacking you. I'm asking you for advice. Because I find, as a council member, to find myself in the middle of something that I know was discussed openly 2 weeks ago, but somehow, some way, it is now under some protection for executive session. I'm not sure how it got there when it was already open session. So I'm trying to understand what to do about that. And as you're my attorney, you're all seven of our attorney, I'm asking you what we do. I think this is not an unusual question. Things cannot just be hidden under executive session requests. They just can't.
Yep.
I'm not sure why we are doing it in executive session, but that's not my question.
Mr. Mayor and Councilman Rubin, I really don't have anything other to add at this point. I don't know how to answer that question other than to suggest that if you don't think it's appropriate to go into executive session or you just don't want to, Councilmember Solomon is exactly correct. Executive session, even though it's authorized under those statutes, it's not required. There's all kinds of things that the executive session statute would allow you to discuss behind closed doors. For example, if the town were involved in litigation and we wanted to discuss settlement options, and we wanted to discuss that publicly so the opposition could learn every single thing about the town's strategy and how much settlement authority we had, et cetera, et cetera. If we wanted to do that publicly, which wouldn't be in the best interest of the town, wouldn't be in the best interest of the citizens, yeah, you guys can absolutely do that. In regard to this item, in which, you know, I didn't unilaterally put this on the agenda, I was asked to come up with appropriate language for this executive session item. I did my job. I put it down there. If you folks don't want to go into executive session, the majority should vote no, and we won't go in. If the majority votes yes, then we'll go in. And if you don't want to stay,
Mr. Mayor, stay. A question for the attorney along those lines.
Okay, Councilmember Solomon and then Vice Mayor Barrett.
Gary, you know, I know your job is to protect us. Now, I have a few questions along those lines. Say this council, a majority of this council, votes to go into executive session. Say it is later found by the Attorney General to be an illegal executive session. Since your job is to protect us, what's our exposures as individual council members or as a council if it's found that we just violated the open meeting law?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Solomon, I think you're pretty well protected since it'd be obvious that that was done at the advice that your lawyer told you that it was in compliance with the law. So the advice of counsel defense would be pretty strong. And it would be, and I'll state it publicly, if there's a violation and I'm saying we can do it, it's on my shoulders.
Next question. You said you were instructed to come up with this language. Who requested this be put on as an executive session item?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Solomon, beyond what we had talked about publicly, I cannot disclose anything beyond that.
We as council and the public cannot know who requested this executive session item on this agenda?
Yeah, you can know, but I can't tell you right now.
Well, I think I'd like to know. Isn't that
I understand that. I'm an attorney.
Okay.
Who do I ask?
The town clerk who requested this item to be on executive session. Was it the agenda committee?
It seems. Mr. Mayor, members of council, if I may answer that question. At the last council meeting, there was some direction on the part of council to have an opportunity to speak with the recruiter in consultation with the town attorney. It was determined that there would be a strong likelihood that issues that were previously discussed in an executive session would likely be at risk, and therefore giving the council an opportunity to speak with the recruiter similarly to what you did in the previous executive session first, with a further determination at that point as to whether or not things wanted to come back to an open meeting at that point.
And therein lies the exact problem, the snowball problem of something's mentioned in an executive session even when it shouldn't be, all of a sudden now becomes something that we can only discuss in executive session. I'd like to make a motion to amend that we do not go into executive session, but that we keep this topic. I don't know if this is appropriate, Gary, to keep this topic in the open public session. I'd like to amend the motion of going into executive session to remain in public.
So, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Solomon, the way that that motion is phrased is out of order because we couldn't keep that.
Okay, I was checking if that was a possibility.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is all a bit interesting. I object to the general insinuations that there have been inappropriateness things or anything trying to be hidden from the public. That's really not the case. I think we're trying to understand to the best of our ability and try and, you know, do right by the public and in making sure that we understand all of the legal things that have been going on over the past year. And I think that we have done that. And I think that our decisions have reflected that understanding. And I also, I mean, I don't want to say, but I mean, I don't feel that I've ever said anything that shouldn't have been said, and I don't appreciate those sort of insinuations. But on this topic more specifically, I wonder if perhaps maybe we could delay this agenda item for our next meeting, because what happened at the last meeting was my basic comment was I don't feel like I have enough information to move forward with that, as the town manager, Mary Jacobs, mentioned. And now I find myself in a similar position where I feel like it's difficult to get that information, and in terms of that opportunity to have that discussion where that we need to get that information. And so maybe we should postpone this and pending further legal advice and make sure that this is something that we, that, you know, that is something that we feel comfortable with. Because in light of the things that have been said or mentioned, you know, I don't feel like I would be comfortable just moving forward with an executive session at this point. And yet I still haven't gotten the information that was requested at the last meeting. So I would propose that maybe we could consider delaying this agenda item pending some further review or information.
Councilmember Pena.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think for me there's some confusion, because at the last council meeting I understood the direction would be discussing or having the recruiter tell us why the online survey and the focus group survey, or excuse me, summaries, both those summaries could not be made public. And if I'm not mistaken, it's because the recruiter had reasons that were talked about from Mr. Brady, our HR director at the time. He mentioned the email that there was a response in there from the recruiter to me that it had to do with waiting till the end of the process and giving it to, you know, however many candidates were left. And so we went back and forth, and the main issue was that why can't that be made public? And the onus was going to be put on the discussion for the recruiter to tell us why. So my question then, if that's the case, why can't the discussion with the recruiter be made in public as to why it cannot be public information? You don't have to go into specifics about the results, but that can be done in public. I don't know of anything, and I have not been told of anything, unless any of the other council members have been made aware of anything in this process that we need to discuss right at this point in executive session. That would fall under elements 1, 2, 3, 4 regarding the police search. It was, to me, the conversation was going to be why the recruiter was going to tell us why that information was not public. And if I remember right, Council Member Rodman said, well, we own it, so it should be ours. So I don't know what other information we're out there waiting for, and that we need to postpone the process and we need to go through all this stuff, when it's simply a conversation of why can't this be made public with the recruiter, and why that can't discussion, she can't call in, she can't be here for us to talk about it without, and with Gary, you know, refereeing the conversation so that we're not overstepping boundaries, what the issue is. So why is it in an executive session? And then the other comment I have is the 1, 2, 3, 4 elements. When we talk about transparency in executive sessions, you know, we want to be forthright with the public. Generalities are not giving away what's going on with the police search. So as an example, number one could be application process. Okay? We're not talking about an individual. We're not talking about giving away the farm with that particular item. Number two is another generality. What that does is let the public know that those are the topics with which will be discussed regarding the police, pending search for the police chief. So something got convoluted between the last council meeting that we had with why we have all this information that we're going to talk about when all we were going to do is talk about why we couldn't have the surveys be made public. Thank you.
Councilmember Rodman.
Yeah, I understand one of the parts of what Mr. Cohn's talking about, that, you know, it's not agendized to, you know, so for us to come out and talk, discuss publicly or take action, it's not on the agenda. I want to point out that I tried to put it on the agenda with a second from Councilmember Pena, and requested that at the agenda committee, which was composed of the mayor and the vice mayor, and was turned down. So even though we had it agendized as an executive session in which we might decide something on this particular issue and whether to make it public or not, we couldn't have done anything tonight, and yet we tried to get it there. So it's just information.
Mr. Cohen?
I've heard the discussion at this point. We have a motion and a second to go into executive session.
So Vice Mayor Barrett, can this motion be amended, Mr. Cohen?
Mr. Mayor, any motion can be amended an initial time. So the answer is yes.
Mr. Mayor, first of all, let me just make a point of order that this has happened a couple of times now when things have been, you wanted to add this or we wanted to add that. And I just want to point out that that also is not on the agenda. So, you know, bringing those kind of things up would have to be also added to the agenda. So, I mean, we're already way outfield here in terms of what's on the agenda. And so my thought is that maybe we should just delay this item until we can get that further information, because, you know, Councilmember Pena expressed that she had that kind of further information, but again, it seems like maybe she has more information on this topic or the reasons than I do. And so rather than go into executive session, you know, tonight, it might be helpful to delay it to get some further information, or even, I guess, potentially we could consider going into executive session to receive legal advice. Although that would have to be done at a future point in time, I think, based on the agenda, unless I'm mistaken. But if we, need legal advice on this issue, I think that given the legal questions that have been raised, that would be something that I would feel like I would need. So, I don't know. For me, I would like to maybe abstain on going into executive session, but I would also, I also feel like I need more information again before we proceed with discussing this. And maybe there's other ways for me to be able to get that information.
So I'd like Mr. Cohen to respond.
Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor Barrett, the only response I have is to point out that this executive session includes getting, you know, under three, section three is to getting legal advice from council. Mayor and council is always able to go back and obtain legal advice from council on any agenda item. So if you go back into executive session, if that's what the vote is, certainly that's something that can be done, and that's one of the reasons why I'm not too concerned about
Councilmember Pena
going back into executive session.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to clarify to Vice Mayor Barrett's comments. I do not have any additional information that nobody else has. I've not been made privy to any information regarding this process. And quite frankly, that's my concern, is that we are having executive session and not being able to openly learn about information. So I want to clarify that point. I don't know anything more than anybody else does here. And I have concerns about, and I've stated it before, how this is published on here. And I had asked, and Mr. Cohen has agreed to give me a written review of why those items are on there and written the way they are and how they are applicable to this process and meet the executive session qualifications. So I would just like to make that clarification. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Solomon.
You know, the bigger issue here is transparency. People in the council simply want to know what the results were of the public input that we solicited and the focus group of the community leaders that we solicited regarding the search for police chief. And my understanding is, you know, well, I think I can say from personal conversations that the number one priority was that it be an internal candidate, which a majority of this council rejected. On July 31st, a motion was made to do an internal search after a 17-year succession plan had been in place. Everyone acknowledged the outstanding merits of our police chief. The motion was made. It was voted down 4-3. And then a motion was made to go external, approved 4-3. Basically said, we have no regard for our police chief. Now we're simply asking what are the results of the rest of the town survey, and it seems to go against what the majority of this council wants for an external candidate. You can say all you want about external lets us cast a wider net. That's false, absolutely false. We are the safest town in Arizona. An outside candidate is a detriment. An internal candidate is an enormous benefit. It's not an even playing field. You cannot compare the two. And here's one more example of this being hidden in executive session. The residents say, we took a survey. You asked to take it. Community leaders said, we took out our busy time from running the airport, from being Pima County Sheriff, being the head of the chamber. We came here. We told the recruiter, internal, top priority. It's being hidden from the public. This whole process seems to have been biased towards an external candidate. And once again now, there is nothing under the law that would put this conversation about releasing the results of the survey into an executive session, nothing whatsoever. It's convenient for the vice mayor to recommend postpone it, because guess what? On January 6th, we're going to start reviewing applicants. So it's moot. Let's postpone it until it's irrelevant. That's been a habit of this council on several major issues. I don't have to say what they were. There's 1,000 people who've attended meetings who've seen it time after time after time. So you can vote. You have your votes to do whatever you want. Once again, I'm concerned if you approve going into executive session of a violation of the law and whether all of us should participate or not. And postponement is a simple way of getting your way without having to make the hard vote to go into executive session to show you don't care about transparency.
So we have
Mr. Mayor.
Council Member Jones.
I've sit here and listened to all the arguments. And I refuse to sit here and have one of our council members accuse us of wanting to disregard the internal process.
Excuse me. What
be quiet. I'm
no,
talking.
No,
what about
Solomon?
Be quiet. I'm talking. I have the floor.
You didn't interrupt
okay. Then. You didn't comment quiet. I asked to be acknowledged.
Councilmember Solomon, one more outburst like that, and I'll ask you to be removed.
What we asked for was an external, internal process. And I think it's very inflammatory to the public to sit here and make those accusations like we don't care about this community. It was voted on. We're doing it. Get over it.
Mr. Mayor, now I'd like
so,
the
so,
floor.
So, excuse me. Mr. Mayor, I understand from many years of doing this that the lawyer can only give the advice, but I can't make anybody take it. But I will now remind this council for I think it's the fourth time that we have an agenda item. It involves going back into executive session as phrased on the agenda. We need to stay on this agenda item, because if we don't, that creates problems. So again, I'm making that advice. We're pretty clearly beyond.
First off, I apologize for interrupting. That was out of order and I shouldn't have. And that's all I'm saying is I'm apologizing to Council Member Ivy Jones. That was inappropriate.
Jones, Ivy, thank you.
Jones, I'm sorry, Joyce. That was totally inappropriate, and I acknowledge that. I am sorry. I should have waited to be recognized.
Mr. Mayor, I move the question.
Mr. Standish, if you would take a roll call vote.
Excuse me, can you repeat the question, please?
As I understand it, the motion
saying to take a vote.
Yeah,
so.
Call the question.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Pena, did you want the motion read back? Is that
yes.
what you... You did?
Yes.
Okay.
There's currently a motion on the floor from Mayor Winfield and a second from Councilmember Jones-Ivey to go into executive session.
And Mr. Mayor, would you be voluntarily amend the motion was made by the mayor?
Correct. Yeah, that's...
Mr. Mayor, would you voluntarily amend the motion to include the people that you would, besides obviously the mayor and council, who you want back in that meeting?
Okay, so this would include the following: town manager, town attorney, and the town clerk, and of course, members of the town council.
And Mr. Mayor, I think it would also include...
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, we failed to update your... But that would also include Catherine Tuck Parish of the Novak and Associates Group, should that happen.
Okay.
So your motion includes all those people?
Yes.
And who was the second? Councilmember Jones-Ivey, you'll accept that voluntary amendment to the motion and second that?
I'll second it.
Okay. So,
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Vice Mayor Barrett.
Excuse me. I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm just on the phone. So I just want to clarify. So what happens if we vote to go into executive session? Then obviously we go into executive session where we could receive further legal advice regarding this issue, as well as, you know, have that conversation, whatever it was going to be. And then if the motion fails to go into executive session, then is the item on the agenda done? Is the meeting finished? Or does then the item on the, then are we discussing the item on the agenda, or what happens?
Vice Mayor Barrett, the mayor's looking at me and clearly asking me to answer your question. So, Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor Barrett, taking the second part of your inquiry first, if this motion were to fail and we were not to go into the executive session, then we would then just turn to the next item on the agenda, which I think is an adjournment. If the motion were to pass, then we would go back into the executive session to discuss the topic as listed on the agenda. And again, one of the bases for the executive session is to seek legal advice from council. So that is always something that this council can do. And again, one of the reasons why I'm thinking that this is appropriate, if you choose to go back in the executive session, it's at your pleasure.
Mr. Mayor, I think it would be very short-sighted not to go in executive session. If it's the concerns that I'm hearing from other council members, then they, as Attorney Cohen said, they can leave the meeting. But I think we need to go into executive session and hear what it is.
Thank you. Enough discussion. Let's vote.
Mayor Winfield?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Barrett?
Aye.
Councilmember Jones-Ivey?
Aye.
Councilmember Nicholson?
Aye.
Councilmember Pena?
Nay.
Councilmember Rodman?
No.
Councilmember Solomon?
No.
Okay, the motion passes. We'll go into executive session.
We can argue about anything. Sorry about adjourning.
Is this... Test. Okay. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.